mindful of our Rivercrest people and their commitment to minister to our seniors in our community. And so we connected with them first. We said, is there a possibility that you could move that time? And we just said, we just want to check in with you first. And when they got back to us and said that, you know, it's very difficult to change the schedule there. In fact, I think those things are regimented. My mom's in one, so I know. And so we said, okay, and based on that, because we want to allow you to continue to just not feel hindered, we decided to go to 11 o'clock. So I want to encourage you to come and to be a part of that, even though you've been very, very faithful at 9:15. But will you just bless the rest of the church family by being a part of that for this couple of months? Would you do that for me? Would you do that for me? Yes, will you do it? All right, good. The pastoral team and I were at Calgary this past week for our National Assembly. Every 2 years, the highest governing body of our Christian Missionary Alliance gets together, and that's all of the official workers and the missionaries and the delegates from the local churches gather together every 2 years to deal with the business of our denomination. And it was fun sitting together, sitting in between Brianna and Ashley, explaining them to them the rules of Robert's Rules of Orders, so that when we're in business sessions, they go, why are we doing that? Or what does this mean? Or why are we? It's when you've had as much experience as I've had on Robert's Rule. I mean, it's named after me, right? So no, it's not. It's just interesting to see how procedures work and how you work together as a family. And one of the people that I got together with was the gentleman that I've gone to Israel with twice. And I said to Mark, I said, I'm starting Psalm 23. I said, I've had some people come to me and say, when are we going to Israel? And I said, so Mark, when are we going to Israel? And he said, well, we just canceled this coming October because of some things that were going on. He said, but I'm thinking about next October, and I'm only thinking about taking 15 people, and I want you to come with me as part of my tour. I said, okay, let me go home and pray about that. So I said to Cheryl, we're going to Israel. No, well, I asked nicer than that. Trust me, and this better not be recorded. So if you're, I'm going to check in with a couple of the churches that I've served in the past and transition, and if some of the people that have listened to this message series as well have indicated that. So if you're interested, you want to go. Now here, I need to let you know, you're going to have to prepare starting now, because we don't go from bus tour to bus tour. From one place to the next, we actually walk a lot of the way. You will do between 15 and 18 kilometers a day walking. But you will feel Israel by the time that you're done. And it's something to just, you could go on bus tours where you go from one bus, you get in the bus and go to the next thing, get off and look at that and get on the bus. But the whole aspect is called the fifth gospel encounters. And literally what it means is that we've got four gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the fifth gospel, if you really want to understand the scripture, is the land itself. And so, again, going and walking up the hill to the top where you look down to see where David and Goliath had their confrontation. It makes a whole big difference when you've walked up at first. Now, you can go to the top, get out of the bus, and look down. But there's something about that process of getting just to the top. So some people have asked about that. So I thought, I'll check in with Mark this week and see how we're going. So if you're interested, let me know, but no big deal. All right. Ready to learn about Psalm 23? Okay, let's go. Let's get right into it. For the last 5 years, I've been deeply challenged by the words of the book of Proverbs, which say, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This actually, these words, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wrote a classic book, As a Man Thinketh. It's an incredible book that I actually reread it or re-listened to it on the way down to Calgary this past week. Just reminding us, what you think about is so, so important. So, what do I think about family? What do I think about the future? What do I think about success? What do I think about God? What do I think about myself? These are great questions. You see, here's something that I know. What you think about, you act out. And you can't live contrary to what you believe. Now this morning I'm going to take a look at the passage a little bit different than perhaps you've considered it before. But before I lean into this teaching, allow me just to do a little bit of review of what we looked at last week. All right? Remember, last week we discovered we're all like sheep. I believe this is why God in his wisdom used the imagery of sheep in describing how each one of us as humans really are. Do you remember what a sheep has to do to survive? Do you remember that? What do they have to do? Look to the shepherd. In order for you to look to the shepherd, you must daily declare your love and allegiance to the great shepherd. You will be lost in this life without a shepherd. I want you to understand that. So we looked at the Shema principle. And the Shema principle basically said that you need to daily declare your allegiance to Jehovah. Now, I don't know if any of you picked up a rock this week and thought about that. But remember, we said that the rock reminded you of the day, that in the Jewish mindset, the rock represents this day. Perhaps you're here this morning. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How is it that God has given me desires, but yet I'm not supposed to want anything? You may be asking the same question. How can you and I not want? Because we all have wants. My mom used to say to me all the time, Robbie, there's a difference between what you want and what you need. The Bible says that if God is my shepherd, if I fully trust my shepherd, then I have everything that I need. How is this? When you're standing wanting something, you ask yourself this question, God, then why is it that what I want is this? And what does that reveal in me? And how can I slay this giant that I want this stuff? You see, when I was growing up, I suffered from a very common disease. It was called the if-only disease. If only I had a bike like my neighbor, then I would be happy. If only I had grades like my friend, then my parents would be happy. If only I had a chance to date Jennifer, who was the gal down the street, then I'd be happy. Never happened. If I only had a car like my best friend, then I would be happy. If I only had parents like my neighbor parents, then I would be happy. If I could only leave this town, then I would be happy. If only I had voted for, well, we won't go down there, then we would be happy. Am I the only one who ever suffers from destination disease? In Exodus chapter 16, listen for the same disease that I just talked to you about. Listen, we're going to pick up where the Israelites are. The whole Israel community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which I've been to. It's an amazing spot, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after they came out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, at least we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. This morning, I want you to go a little deeper into your want and into my want. If the way that you think is the way that you live, then we must examine the way we think, and more importantly, what we believe about our shepherd. Here's what I want you to know today. I lack nothing when I choose to decide to trust God for what I need today. Now, in your notes, you'll see the title, I Have a Complaint. Israel. The New Day Experience. Trust the leader. Remember, let's just go back to that passage that I just read for you. The children of Israel in Exodus chapter 16, they've just, remember what just happened prior to this? All they knew was slavery. All they knew was that they were conditioned to do what people told them to do. All their days consisted of working like slaves. All they knew was bondage. But this was a new day in Israel. God had demonstrated his great power in freeing them from the chains of slavery of Egypt. Freedom was what God had provided for them. New blessings. A fresh start. A new place to experience the provisions and blessings of God. A new leader. And it wasn't Pharaoh. It was Moses. But rather than focus their intention and intention on what God could do and what God could provide, they defaulted just like you and I do. And they started to gripe about what they didn't have. Rather than in the glory in the heart and the power of the God who delivered them in this miraculous way just days before. I find it odd and frustrating when Christians who've experienced the greatest miracle in their lives, that they've had their sins forgiven, their past has been wiped clean, and they would rather than rejoice in the greatest gift they have, they gripe about not having this little gift. Now, should a person complain? Look at what Haddon Robinson wrote. I got it in your notes there so you wouldn't miss this. Complaining has become a talent in modern life. We shrug it off by saying it's a safety valve to let off the pressure of pent-up resentment and frustration. But this was a great question, and I love this one. But is that the mark of one of Christ's flock? As I've lived over the years, I've found that there are dozens of reasons why people complain. But let me just kind of simmer them down to three. And in addition to this, I want to provide some supporting verses from Scripture that kind of illustrate the point that I'm going to talk about. The first one is this. We don't have what we want. And this comes from a position of lack. We're missing something that we believe that we should have or we don't have. And we find this in the story of Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 25. Once again, Jacob was cooking some stew and Esau came in famished. He said to Jacob, quick, give me some food of that red stew, or give me some of that red stew. I'm famished. What was he saying? He was thinking only of himself. He was only thinking what he didn't have. You and I will never know what it's like to know how to trust our shepherd for everything if everything is about you. You see, here's what I know. Selfishness and contentment don't coexist. Just as this last week, I had to drop into Costco for some supplies. When out of the blue, a child, a seven-year-old, began to scream at the top of her lungs because she didn't get what she wanted. And I smiled. We're just like that little girl sometimes. We don't have what we want. Secondly, we don't like our situation in life. You know, a wife of one of our John Maxwell team members wrote this on her Facebook page. This was a lady speaking, so I want to remind you this at the very front end. This was a lady talking about her dialogue between her and her little three-year-old. This is how she started. Kind of thinks three-year-olds are similar to hormonal women. Hormonal women. See, I'm so nervous I can't even say it. Just now, she says, this is me. Hey, Lewis, come in for lunch. Lewis instantly starts crying hysterically. I can't eat lunch. I'm going to bed. He goes upstairs to bed. Literally, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. She says, I follow him. Lewis, don't follow me. I get up in bed beside him. Me, do you want to cuddle? Lewis, no. Okay. After 30 seconds, I need a wee. That's English for having to go to the bathroom, just so you know. Me, okay, I'm going to go downstairs to see Eliza, and I'll be back in a moment. Lewis comes back downstairs shouting, I'm so hungry, mommy, and starts crying. Sits down at the table. There's no tuna left. There's no tuna left. Me. Well, you know, here I've got what I've got. So he eats 2 quarters of sandwiches, juice, and then 1/4 of a ham and a cheese sandwich. Lewis goes, Mommy, I want more tuna. Baby, we don't have any more tuna left. How about this ham and cheese? I hate ham and cheese. I'm going to bed. Starts crying again. Me, how about some chocolate spread? She says, Mummy knows when to bring out the big guns. Lewis smiles, and now he's fine, as you can see. Like I said, just like a hormonal woman. Speaking of women, we're familiar in the story of the New Testament. There's a transition right there. Just follow along with me. Guys, cheer for me, whatever you need to do. Describing the angst of one sister who was doing all the work while the other one wasn't. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to make. And she said to him, Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Perhaps you're not like her. Yet if you're not able to give thanks for where you are in life, then as someone so accurately described, wherever you go too. So people complain when they don't have what we want, and we complain we don't like our station in life, and thirdly, we believe life is not fair for us. Have you ever heard this one? Life isn't fair. Do we have any reason in Canada to say that life is not fair? I found 10 reasons why you and I are blessed. And number one, in Ethiopia, many women have to walk 4 to 5 miles per day to get something as simple as water for their families. Number two, in North Korea, owning a Bible can get you executed or deported to a labor camp. In Pakistan, number three, since January of 2014, there have been over 232 reported terrorist attacks. Number four, in Egypt, liking a Christian-themed Facebook status is ground for 6 years in prison. Number five, in Cuba, a street sweeper makes the average of $19 per month, while a brain surgeon brings in $22 per month. In Denmark, six, baby naming laws requires you to name your child from a government-approved list. Number seven, in Afghanistan, child forced marriages are commonplace. Number eight, in Sudan, without any trial, the National Intelligence and Security Service can indefinitely detain anyone they want. In Iran, number nine, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are banned. And number 10, in Mauritania, a country in Africa, over 4% of the 3.8 million population are slaves. Everything is relative, right? Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 16. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They were saved by the Lord's hand. Now they were sour about the Lord's will. Ouch. Ever been there? Here's a lesson from Exodus chapter 16. Please don't miss this. It's in your notes. Complaining is as old as manna. Chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they are to bring in. And that is to be as twice as much as they gathered on the other days. And you know why? Because if they weren't supposed to go out, God wouldn't provide the next day. See, God was testing them to see if they would just listen to the instructions of the shepherd. You see, Sunday to Thursday wouldn't have been a problem for me. It would have been the command twice as much on Friday that would have created all the issues. You see, if you and I picked twice as much on any other days, it was going to spoil by the next morning. But on the sixth day, it was a true test day. See, how do we counteract complaining, especially in a world where it's not only acceptable, it's almost expected to complain about everything? Well, let's go back to Psalm 23. You know, let's start it. We're memorizing, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. What comes from a belief of scarcity, a place of lack? How can I be like the sheep that lacks nothing? What am I wondering about? When I'm wandering out in the desert and the sun is beating down on me and my lips are dried and cracked because it's so dry, how in the world can I not be without want? Why could the psalmist David, this young teenager, this inexperienced, this kid with little experience, utter such words with such great confidence? Don't miss this, friend. Because David knew something that you and I need to bury deep into our hearts. Here's the point for this morning. Sheep lack nothing because they have everything that they need. Again, consider the remaining verses in our psalm. We're just going to kind of do a little bit of an overview. They need food. Food's provided by the shepherd. It's going to give them green pastures. They need water. Water's provided by the shepherd because he's going to bring them beside still waters. They need protection. Protection will be provided by the shepherd. Why? Because he's got a rod and a staff that's going to protect them. Then why do they have everything that they need? Why? Because it's the shepherd's job to provide for them. You see, sheep never got stressed out if they didn't have any food, or if they weren't next to water, or if there was a predator in the area. Why is it that we get stressed out so many times during the day? Why are we trusting in our own limited resources and not the unlimited resources of the great shepherd? You see, not only do sheep not stress, they've learned very early in life to stay close to the shepherd and not wander away from their shepherd. Why did they need to learn that? Because remember, sheep aren't very smart. And like you and I, they may not be smart, but they're wise. Oh, if we would just learn what the sheep do. They have common sense, and common sense for a sheep and for you and for me is to understand this truth that's in your notes. If you don't trust your shepherd to provide in the desert, you will die. We seem to be okay for a while, and then we get ourselves into a mess, and before we know it, we are overcome with stress. And we seem to be okay going our own way for a while. And then when something unforeseen happens, just like the prodigal son, our resources run out. We find ourselves being disciplined by the Lord, for we are all like sheep. Oh, and we have to learn this little principle that how simple life is like a sheep. Look what it says in Psalm 34. It's there in your notes on the screen. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Want a stress-free life? Most of us think we have stress, when in reality, we just have misplaced priorities. I know that to be true in my own life. For years, I went from living my normal life I wanted. I felt lack. I even complained. And when the bottom fell out of my world, the sad thing was it took me this experience to discover what it meant to lack nothing, even though I felt like I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, we will lack nothing when we realize how blessed we are. And forget using the trinkets and the toys to bring us our satisfaction. Because our satisfaction, my satisfaction, comes from him. And it is in him too. Here's another truth I want to invite you to bury deep into your hearts and minds. Why can I look to my shepherd? Why can you look to your shepherd to provide everything you need and everything you need and everything that I need? Because God does everything abundantly and perfectly. He spoke and the world was created. He spoke and the manna fell every morning. He created you and he created me to look to him, to listen to him, to trust him. Look at Psalm 84 in your notes. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Friend, this is what I long for you, to be blessed, to understand what it's like to walk in freedom and peace of knowing that everything you need, God is able to provide. So here's the principle for today that I want you to see. I lack nothing, which is the manna principle. And the manna principle basically says that I'm going to decide to trust God for today. In order for you to triumphantly declare that I shall not be in want, you have to decide to turn your face to Him in the morning and to trust Him. It's so simple, but let me confess to you, it's so hard to do consistently, right? Here are the areas I need to trust in Him. Perhaps you could add this to your daily agenda as well. Trust God to provide direction for today. Every morning, Cheryl and I read God's Word together. We pray. And there's not a day that doesn't go by where I honor these words. God, you've given this day before us. We thank you for it. Now direct our steps. This is your day. Lead us as you choose. It's amazing to see how God leads us. If you would like to know how to find the right path, then you need to come next week because we're going to talk about how to walk the right path. But you need to trust God to provide direction for the day. Secondly, you need to trust God to provide protection for today. Can we trust God to protect us? Listen to David in Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All the days ordained for me were written. Many walk in fear thinking, what if God doesn't protect me? Like some of you might think, why would I ever go to Israel? Man, there's lots of violence over there. I don't even know if it's safe. If my days are written, then there's nothing I can do to shorten them or to make them longer. When I was learning how to drive, my mom would say that if I drove over the speed limit, my guardian angel was behind my car and not in front of me. I shocked her one day when I told her, Mom, you've got it all wrong. My angel is leaning into the wind and saying, put the hammer down. There's no cops. Let's keep going. Kids, don't try this at home. Friends, when we complain, when we fail to trust God, it just reveals a deeper problem. And I didn't even have to get you to fill in the blanks here. I want you to see what the problem is. It's unbelief. It's doubting the promises of God. If God says it, I believe it, and it's settled. I want to please God, don't you? Listen to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Just as a sheep must trust his shepherd to exist, so we should learn to believe what God's word says about God's promises and how He will direct us and how He will protect us when we walk in faith, believing that He is at work around us. Church family, we must do the same as we look to the future, as we look to God to lead us and to the person who is His choice for the next season in your church. But we must surrender to His will and not to our will. Remember, you and I can't trust if we are only thinking about ourselves. To fully trust my shepherd, I must die to my own selfishness. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We need to trust His promises. We need to trust His protection. And just watch how God provides. One of the morning activities or morning sessions that we had at Assembly was we actually went through a time of confession and preparation for communion. It was a glorious time. And they had stations all around because there was 1,000 of us, I think around 1,000 people. So there's different places to go and to get the communion when the communion time was ready. And just as I went with the people that I was with, and I got my stuff and I pulled off to the side and I saw one of my former staff members, one of my former interns, and he hugged me. And he said, Bob, can I pray with you? And I went, oh, yeah, you can. And we had communion together and he prayed for me. And he said, this wasn't an accident at all. And I went, you bet it wasn't. You see, when you can trust your shepherd, he will meet all your needs. Why? Because he's your shepherd. And he's my shepherd. Will you pray with me? Worship team, won't you come? Father God, we thank you for this day that you've made. Thank you, Father, for the truth in your word. That when we understand that you are our shepherd, we will lack nothing. Nothing. Father, we look around and we look inside and we look at our lack of resources and we look at what's going on in this world. Lord, then the stress starts to come. But may we look to you as our shepherd. For you want us to trust in you. For Lord, you are our mighty fortress. You are the one that goes before us. You're the one that has our plans written out, our days numbered. You've given us skills. You've given us gifts. You've given us abilities. You've given us experience. And you've given us this day to just simply say, Lord, this is your day. I trust you to provide for me, to protect me, to lead me and to use me to further your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray that you will just breathe encouragement into our hearts this morning that you are trustworthy and that we can face this day because we're not walking alone. We've got our shepherd with us. So continue to minister to us as we respond in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.